Welcome to the Experience Darden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Debbie Wilson. Debbie is the staff psychologist in our Office of Student Affairs, and she and I recently connected via Zoom to talk more about her background, what brought her to Darden, what she enjoys about working with Darden students, some of the challenges students face as they adjust to life in business school, and so much more. I think you're going to find this a very helpful conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Debbie Wilson. Debbie, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you, Brett. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for asking me.
It's great to have you here. One of my admissions colleagues, Whitney Kessner, said, you know who would be really cool to have on the podcast? Debbie Wilson. And so I'm glad we were able to make this happen. I think the way that you work with students and how you support them is so incredible. It's a great resource that's available here at the Darden School. We're going to get into much more of that. But first, before we get there, I want to check in with you and just see, how are you doing? How are you holding up during all of this?
Well, actually, I think I'm doing pretty well, Brett. The news yesterday of the two vaccines now that might be coming on the market was really, really a great news item. And so I think that's probably going to give all of us a little bit more hope.
That's right. It's amazing how closely we followed this kind of thing. How many of us have paid close attention to things like epidemiology or vaccine development in past years? Well, we're all watching now. It's amazing. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about you and your background. You know, what do you do? What's your current role here at the Darden School? And then we'll go from there. So what is your current role?
Well, I am the clinical psychologist for Darden students. And what that means is that I provide psychotherapy for the residential MBA students and the doctoral students. And I also do some psychoeducational programming just on whatever topics the students, the faculty, the staff are interested in. But primarily I'm doing clinical work.
So curious about your background. You know, how did you come to this work? What have you done sort of that brought you to Darden? Let's go back in time a little bit.
Okay. Well, I was not always a psychologist. As a matter of fact, I didn't even have an ambition of working at a university. I thought I would be a high school teacher. But when I was finishing my undergraduate degree, I got an opportunity to teach at the college level, decided I wanted to then stay at the college level, and went to the Ohio State University for my master's degree. And while I was there, I became the women's basketball coach. And I was the women's basketball coach at Ohio State for a little over 8 years. And during that time, it was an incredible time in women's sports because women's sports at the college level were just exploding. And I was fortunate. I got to coach some extraordinary athletes, All-Americans. I coached an Olympic gold medalist. And I really, really enjoyed that, especially that intensive work with people who were really trying to achieve something, where they had motivation, they had ability, and then there were always barriers they were dealing with, whether those were psychological or physical or whatever. And I loved doing that kind of work. But I didn't intend to stay as a college coach. And that's when I started looking around and saying, well, where else can I get this kind of enjoyment in the work that I do and this kind of satisfaction from the development of the people I work with? And that's when I started looking at psychology. And then I did enter a PhD program at the University of Maryland. That's where I got my degree. And ever since then, I have been working as a licensed clinical psychologist. And I've done this now for decades at this point. And I must say, it never gets old. Because each person is, it's such a new experience with each person to hear their story, what they're about. And I think probably everyone who works in this type of profession would agree with me that we feel very honored that individuals would trust us the way they do in psychotherapy, because it is through that relationship between the therapist and the client that the work happens. And that really depends on the client being able to trust. And it still amazes me every time somebody comes in that they will open up and be so trusting of me before they really know me very well. And so I feel very honored and I feel humbled by it.
I'm so fascinated by your experience coaching the women's team at Ohio State. Yeah. You've probably figured I was going to follow up about this.
Of course.
Are there lessons from that experience that you have brought to the current work? I mean, I think about coaching, you know, basketball or really anything. I mean, you know, you're working with somebody individually, trying to understand their development. What are their challenges? What are their opportunities? I mean, how do you pull on that experience in the work that you do currently?
Well, I think it's very similar. The Darden students are very achievement oriented. They are trying to achieve something. They're trying to make things happen. They're trying to manipulate their environment. They're trying to learn and grow. And they are performing under pressure. Well, that is no different than when I was coaching, where there's a very limited amount of time. You don't always get to do a redo. You've got to go with what you've got. And the biggest challenges are emotional. And like when I worked with athletes, of course they had to be prepared physically to be able to compete at that level at a very high Division I level in college athletics. So they had to be prepared and they had to have enough talent, but that wasn't what was the deciding factor between those who were successful and those who were not. It was really how they could manage the emotional pressures of competing and trying to produce in a very limited amount of time when it really, really mattered to them. And I think that's very similar to the Darden students. I think it's very similar to all of us in our lives. We are constantly trying to perform or to make things happen in our lives, and that's not always easy. So it's how we handle that and how we handle those emotions. We are more alike than we are different. And that's one of the things the research showed us with when we look at exceptional performers, and it doesn't matter what field we look in, and we look at people who are not doing so well, the difference in whether or not they can deliver what they're capable of is all emotional. And so that's what I work with. I work with thoughts and emotions. And those, of course, influence behaviors. But it's really about what's going on inside and how people respond to pressure, how they respond to setback, how they respond to opportunity. And the more we can be prepared, the better we're going to come through that kind of experience.
So how did you get to Darden? So you start down this path of doing counseling work, and what brought you eventually to Darden? How'd you make that step from your PhD program to the University of Virginia?
Well, actually, for many, many years, I had a private practice in Washington, D.C., and there I worked with youth athletes all the way through professional athletes. And I also at the same time was at George Mason University. I had been their sports psychologist, and I eventually was an associate athletic director as well. But after I left there, I really wanted to get out of the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. I hated the traffic. I just couldn't deal with it. I actually live out in this area, and so that commute was horrible. And I looked around, and it was actually counseling and psychological services at UVA. That's part of the student health system. They had an opening, and I applied for it, and I got it. And it was after I had been there for about a year that Darden and CAPS, Counseling and Psychological Services, negotiated a special arrangement for me to become the embedded psychologist for Darden. And so now Darden students are the only clients that I see. And so it was sort of serendipitous. I didn't know that I would ever be at Darden when I came to UVA. I thought I would just be part of the student health system. But for me, the match with Darden is an exceptionally good match for me and my background and training. So,
did you have to get up to speed on business school? Was it, you know, were there new aspects? I mean, you talked about all the important commonalities, but I imagine there was a learning curve.
Listen, Darden is not like any other place I've ever been. I have been in higher education my entire professional life in one part way or another. And I've dealt with graduate students in different programs, master's, doctoral programs. This is my first time in an MBA program. And I don't know if it's the MBA life or it's Darden or both. It is different from any other place I've been, and significantly so. And I think that's part of the challenge for the students is that if you look at the incoming students at Darden, they come from, compared to Darden, a more traditional approach to education. And they've excelled in that approach. Then they get to Darden and it is a very different process that they are exposed to and that they have to adapt to. And I think that is one of the first major challenges that they face. Is adjusting to Darden and its process of education and the expectations of an MBA student. I mean, I love the case method. That is my life. That's what I do every day, hour after hour, is the case method. But it does take an adjustment to learn how to think that way and to begin to feel really adept at it.
So how do students work through this? I mean, this is where they start. It's not where they end. So how do they push through?
Brett, you are referring to something that is absolutely extraordinary about the human mind. Our ability to adapt, if we can stay positive, if we can continue to reach back to our strengths and draw on those strengths at these times, it is incredible how quickly we can adapt. Now, quick is a relative term because my experience at Darden is that for all the students, traditional or non-traditional, those first two quarters are especially difficult in the transition. Then we get this long winter break and a lot of good things happen during that. They come back, they have the third quarter, also stressful. And then they go into the fourth quarter where they're more into electives. Well, by then they've adjusted to the case method and they are more into the subjects that each student as an individual is more interested in. And so I think it gets a little easier at that point. But those first two quarters they're pretty rough because these students, they're not only adjusting to the academic situation at Darden, but they start recruiting for summer internships. Wow, I've never been around a graduate program where within weeks of the program starting, they're trying to set themselves up for networking calls, for reaching out to prospective employers. Wow, that's a lot to deal with in your first 4 to 6 weeks of being in a new program. I mean, they've barely just gotten used to the idea I got accepted to this program. And now they're like, oh no, now you have to start looking for what you're going to do in the summer. So.
Well, you're right that things move quickly. I think here on the podcast, we've talked with students a lot about the adjustment process, right? So coming in as a first-year student, what was most challenging or what required the most adaptation? Time and again, people do talk about the learning process, right? Case method is typically new for everyone, at least most students. Time management comes up again and again. And I wonder, how do you talk with students about this? Because it's a skill like anything else. You can get better at it. But there is, again, a learning curve. So how do you work with students on this?
Well, I think you're right. Time management is very critical, but it really starts with the student accepting they can't do everything. They can't even pare down their schedule and get everything done within areas that they think are most critical. For instance, maybe a student prioritizes their academics. Okay, well, you can do that, but part of the MBA experience at Darden is establishing those person-to-person contacts, the more social contacts, which is very important. And then, of course, it's the recruiting, the getting that summer internship, ultimately getting the post-graduation job. And so one of the first big challenges for students is to come to the, to sort through for themselves what really is critical. You will not be able to do it all. And you probably can't do most of it to the level you're used to before you got here. There just isn't enough time. It goes too fast, there's too much. Now, we can look at that and say, wow, Darden's really preparing these students for what real life is like. Well, yeah, in some ways, but I don't think the students expect to be hit with so much so fast.
So. One of the pieces of advice that has been shared a few times here on the podcast, and it relates to what we're talking about here. So, you know, you're part of a small community, there's a lot happening. There is this fear of missing out sometimes, whether you're talking about career, social, and from an academic standpoint. As you mentioned, different students are at different places with these subject areas. Yeah. You know, people definitely lean on their learning team. Students who have a particular expertise, the idea is that you're sharing that expertise with your classmates. But oftentimes we hear from students when it comes to this sort of thing that students need to learn how to run their own race and figure out what their own race is and then just focus on that and not be distracted by some of these things. I imagine that's also an adjustment because oftentimes we look externally to figure out if we're doing the right thing, whereas this is much more of an internally directed idea.
Well, and I think it's so interesting that you use the metaphor of running their own race because it's very much like that. If we look at track athletes, one of the mistakes they often make is they push themselves beyond what their core capability is. Any one of us can do that for a short period of time. The students who come to Darden, they come in on this wonderful wave of excitement and positivity and enthusiasm for what they're going to experience. And if they aren't able to regulate that a little bit, they can, if we were dealing with a runner, with a track athlete, we would say that they are getting outside of their own base. And of course we can do that once in a while, but that's not sustainable. And so if the students get too caught up too fast and get too overextended, they're going to have a lot of difficulties with maintaining that kind of energy and intensity over time, because there's what is it that they neglect first? Self-care. And I can even tell you which thing they are most likely to neglect, and that's sleep.
So you talked about the importance of sleep, and we talked about this sort of adjustment and how students can kind of think about, you know, managing all these things that are competing for their time. What are some of the tips and recommendations? Of course, every student is their own case study, and I love that metaphor that you use. But there must be, you know, common things that you share with each student as they think about adjusting to life at Darden.
One of the universal things we're going to look at is self-care. And so sleep is one of the primary things. And when I'm talking about these things, these are all evidence-based. This is research-based. This is not just ad hominem kinds of report. But I guess I want to say a little bit more about sleep because I don't think people realize fully all of the implications of sleep. For instance, in the human mind, the only time we consolidate new learning is when we're asleep. And so these students are trying so hard to learn all this new material, to adjust. And yet, if they're sacrificing sleep, what they're gaining on one end, they're taking away on the other end because it's not getting consolidated into long-term memory where they can use it, at a later time. So sleep really is kind of fundamental. And actually, disturbances in sleep are a very strong indication clinically that something is wrong if the person has enough time to sleep and they're not sleeping well. what are the other things? Most people are familiar with some of these. Nutrition. All of us are prone when we are under stress, when we are overly busy, we just don't eat the way we should. And we just grab stuff, which is going to mean a lot of processed foods, easy to get hold of foods. Well, again, this is a very resilient, healthy population physically in general. And so it's going to take a while for that to show up. It may not even show up during their time at Darden, but it will have a long-term effect. Something that's going to show up much sooner is a lack of exercise. And we know, what do we mean by exercise? Well, fortunately, they don't have to train like they're going to try to prepare for the Olympics. This is not necessary. Moderate exercise is plenty. And in the research, moderate exercise is really just kind of walk with a purpose. Just get your heart rate up a little. Of course, you can do a lot more than that, but it's get up and get moving. There's actually some recent research that shows if people once an hour will get up and they don't even have to be told what to do. The instruction is just get your blood moving. Get up, move around for 2 minutes, an hour. And it has a significant effect on both mood and productivity. So we're just too sedentary. We need to get up. We need to move around. We need just kind of get the blood flowing. You know, it's sort of think about it like oil in an engine. And this is probably happening to some of us now. Our vehicles are sitting. They're not moving. They're sort of that oil's kind of turning to sludge. Well, we've got to get it moving. We've got to make it more, get it going through those arteries a little bit faster, and it will change mood. And it also helps with alertness and other things. And then the social part is very important. So those are kind of the critical things, but some of the more recent research that I've found absolutely fascinating is that a combination of exposure to natural sunlight, like getting outside. So here you could go out for your nice little walk, and it doesn't matter if it's an overcast day or not, but the combination of that exercise with sunlight is actually the equivalent to taking 10 milligrams of Prozac a day. Prozac is an antidepressant, but there are no negative side effects. We don't have to worry about overdosing. It's good.
I love all the suggestions. As you mentioned, these are things that just people are struggling with right now, right? We're sitting more, we are inside more, we're probably not eating particularly well. There've been the sort of running jokes about the COVID-19, the weight that people may be putting on because they're not eating so well and sitting more. And, you know, this is a hard time. And so I think a lot of what you just shared is probably generally applicable for a lot of us. There's been so much talk recently about resiliency and grit. And I wonder if you have some thoughts about that, because it seems like what you're talking about, certainly when you talked about the lessons you've learned from your coaching experience and the mental aspect of that, how you control your emotions, you know, drawing upon past positive experiences. I mean, do you think about that kind of stuff when you talk with Darden students?
Yeah, absolutely. And it does come up quite a bit. And resiliency is interesting because I approach it from two different areas. There's a lot of debate about what does resiliency really even mean. Well, obviously, it's the ability to adapt and to come back from setbacks. But I break it down into performing in the moment, like when that student is cold called in class, or they're in an interview, or they're doing a presentation, or maybe even taking an exam. That's kind of a performance moment. And then between those moments is they need to be able to recover. But during the moment itself, this is much more like the basketball game when I coached, that you've got to be, there will be setbacks. It doesn't matter who we're talking about, how great the performer is, no matter what discipline there is, they're going to have setbacks, and it will affect them emotionally. It will hit really hard. And this was one of the things I learned from working with elite athletes, is that they feel the same way the rest of us. When we have a setback in a performance moment, and I call it the gut-dropping moment, it's like, you know, right then, if you just feel like, oh, what have I done? It's either something I've done or I haven't done. But the perception is, man, I have blown it. And that's the same for all of us under the right circumstances. But what we do is we look at these great performers and we imagine them in our circumstance. Well, no, they're much more stressful circumstances. What's an example? If we invited LeBron James to come work out with the Albemarle High School basketball team, you think he'd be feeling a lot of pressure? No, because he would know no matter what he did, he could turn it around in a nanosecond. He could play one-on-one with any athlete, or he could play one against five and probably say, well, I'll spot you 20 points when we're playing to 25. And it wouldn't bother him because he's used to performing at such a high level. But let's take those great athletes and put them in a circumstance where they face the same emotional pressure, where the outcome is important and it's uncertain. And they have a very limited amount of time and there's no redo. They're going to go through the same thing the rest of us go through. And so within the performance moment, the most critical thing is not all this self-care stuff that I talked about. It is how quickly do you recover? Just clock time, minutes, seconds, hours, days. How quickly do you recover? Because those elite performers recover right away. The rest of us tend to hang on to it. And we're saying, oh my God, Debbie, why did you do that? You know, that's the same thing you did in the last interview. What's the matter here? Didn't you learn anything? Oh, no, no. That elite performer, no. They blew it. They felt just as bad. And now they're on to the next thing. So that's within the performance moment. But then we can't do that indefinitely. It takes a toll on us. And that's when we go back to the self-care. And the self-care gives us that ability to recover over time. And so without it, we're just sort of running on empty. And so it's the combination of the self-care and learning how to recover in the moment that I think is so critical.
So why do you enjoy working with Darden students? I mean, what has kept you in this role?
You know, as you say that, what I'm going through in my mind is I'm saying, well, what client have I ever in decades of experience not enjoyed working with? And, you know, I can't think of who. That person doesn't come to mind for me. And why is that? Because each encounter, each person who comes in is such a unique interaction for me. I'm getting to know a real person. I'm getting to know their real life. They're opening up in ways maybe they haven't opened up with other people. And in that process, I feel that I am engaged in something. I'm kind of in awe of the therapy process, to tell you the truth. Now, does that mean that we can't learn from that in our other relationships? Yes, of course we can. And if all of us worked harder when we are around other people to make them feel safe, psychologically safe, and to help them feel that we're really interested in their lives and it really matters. Would we all have richer lives? Yes, but we all also have our own problems. I just feel so fortunate that I get to do a job where I think the job itself in some ways pulls out the best of who I am. And I think I'm a better person as a therapist sometimes than I am with my family members or my friends. I mean, they get a different side of me. And, you know, maybe I should look at that more. But I feel such a responsibility with a client when they come in that it changes the process for me and the client.
We have some students who are listening to this podcast who are undoubtedly planning to enroll in Darden in August. And I wonder if you might recommend any books or resources or any tips for them as they think about starting their MBA journey.
Well, I think I start from kind of a values approach. And that's for them to each really look at themselves and why do you want to come to Darden? Now, there may be some superficial, it can still be meaningful, but very obvious things like people say, maybe they want to restart their career. Maybe they want to get a good paying job. Maybe they want to move to a different country. I don't know. There are those things. But I would really encourage them to look at why. What is it about this time in their lives and who they're trying to become as human beings? And I would actually go to a relationship approach to this and say, what kind of relationship are you trying to build with yourself in the way that you treat yourself? Because you're going to be faced with a lot of challenges at Darden, and you're going to be under pressure, and it's intentional, and that's going to come. And how are you going to treat yourself during that process? Have you developed the skills to be compassionate, to be encouraging, to be positive? Because no one was ever humiliated or beaten or stressed into being confident about themselves. No, it is through kindness. And, you know, as you know, Brett, I came up through a competitive background. I like this kind of stuff, but I also know that's not what we focus on. We focused on the relationship with ourselves. And then what kind of person are you trying to be to other people? You know, what can you be kind, compassionate, thoughtful, wise, encouraging to yourself? What can you be that for other people? Because you're going to come to Darden and you're going to be more alike everybody else emotionally than you are different. And if you're struggling or you have those feelings of inadequacy at times, or maybe you get a little bit into an imposter syndrome or whatever, I guarantee you there are many other students going through that. And do you have the capacity to be aware of them, not be so caught up in your own problems that you forget to reach out? So I'm very much about the relationship to yourself, to other people, but we could extend it to other living beings and even to the environment. But what do you want that to be in your life? How do you want it to have meaning? How do you want it to be expressed? And, you know, it probably says a lot about what I emphasize as a psychologist, that therapeutic relationship, so much happens in that relationship. We're all capable of that. We are all capable of caring about ourselves. We are all capable of being compassionate when we're hurt, when we're stressed, when we're overburdened, when we doubt our own value, when we wonder if we can be successful. Okay, well, let's use our strength because we have tremendous strength. These students coming in are incredibly strong. It's not a question of whether or not you will be strong. The question is, how will you apply it? Will you use it to beat up yourself? Will you use it to humiliate, to discredit, to bring yourself down? Or will you use it to help yourself? And the same thing with other people. Our voices are incredibly powerful. And I don't think we really get a choice in that. I think that's just sort of innate in each person. The question isn't, will you have power? It is, how will you use that power to help, to encourage, to enhance, or to destroy? So.
Well, Debbie, thank you so much. I mean, students, you're right, have a lot of choices. Values are important, relationships are important. And you are really directing your experience internally, emotionally, as well as externally, as you go through your 21 or so months here at the Darden School. So thank you for all that you're doing to support our students. Thank you for coming on the podcast and for this very real conversation about, you know, the adjustment to life at Darden and how students navigate this. Yeah. It's been great. I've learned a ton. It certainly echoes a lot of what we've heard from current students in the program. So thank you so much for your time today.
Well, Brett, thanks a lot for having me here. And I look forward to all of those students and getting to know them.
And that was my interview with Debbie Wilson, staff psychologist in Darden's Office of Student Affairs. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. And until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.